Chapter 23. The drive back was the same as the drive out, except for a strange slow-motion near collision at the first turn. Reacher had driven the wide plowed road fast, and the next 8 narrow snowbound miles slow. And then he had coasted and tried to work out a trajectory to get himself through the left turn and into the eastbound ruts on the old road that ran parallel with the highway. But at the same time, a fuel tanker was trying to get out of those same ruts for a left turn of its own up toward the camp. It was a squat vehicle with a company name painted along its flank. Paraffin for the heaters, maybe, or gasoline for the pickup trucks, or diesel for a generator. It changed down to a low gear and turned very early and came right across Reacher's lane. He braked hard, hoping his chains would bite, but the Crown Vic's onboard electronics wouldn't allow the wheels to lock. The car rolled on with all kinds of thumping and banging coming from the brake pistons. The fuel truck kept on coming. Reacher yanked the wheel. The front tires lost their grip and skated. The Crown Vic's front left corner missed the back of the truck by an inch. The truck roared on, low gear, walking pace oblivious. Reacher watched it go in his mirror. He had ended up stationary at a right angle across the old road, with his front wheels in one of the eastbound ruts and his back wheels in one of the westbound. He had to rock between drive and reverse and hit the gas hard to break free. But after that, it was plain sailing all the way. The cop in the stakeout car at the end of Janet Salter's street was Kapler, better than Montgomery from the day before. Kapler looked Reacher over very carefully and then backed up to let him by. Reacher parked nose to tail with the second stakeout car and hustled up the driveway. The day watch cop in the hallway let him in. He asked, "All quiet?" She said, "So far." "Is Mrs. Salter okay?"
"She's fine. Let me see her."
Just like Chief Holland the night before, and just as pointless. If anything bad had happened, the cops wouldn't be sitting around doing nothing. The day watch woman said,
"She's in the library."
Reacher found her there in her usual chair. This time she was reading, an old book with no dust jacket and a title too small to read from a distance. Her gun was still in her pocket. Reacher could make out its shape. She looked up and said,
"Kid gloves?"
He said, "Plastic. Less classy than kid, but nothing to complain about."
"Did you learn anything?"
"Plenty." He got back in the car and headed for the police station. Found Peterson in the squad room. Reacher said, "Holland was right. They weren't coming over here. They were bluffing. Or someone was bluffing on their behalf. We have no idea who actually called here. Could have been the shooter himself, trying to create time and space, trying to point you in the wrong direction." "Well, whoever, they failed, and now we're going to bust them all." "Then you better do it quickly. They're about to move out."
"They told you that?"
"Think back to that call from the DEA. Have you ever sold a house?"
"Once."
"You cleaned it up, right? Made it look real good?"
"I painted the siding."
"They've got the snow all plowed. Everything is immaculate. They've got their stuff in shipping boxes. They've run down their food supplies to nothing. Whoever owns the place is selling it out from under them."
"When are they going?"
"Soon." "Did they give you any trouble?"
"Not really."
"Did they believe you were from the army?"
"Not for a minute.
But they've been told to keep their noses clean, as of right now. The place needs to be a controversy-free zone. Whoever owns the place doesn't want the title damaged, so they didn't give me a hard time."
"Nobody owns that place. It's all public land."
"It makes a profit for somebody. Therefore, somebody thinks he owns it. The bikers are his employees, that's all. Worker bees. And now they've got their marching orders. They're moving on to the next project."
"Plato. The Mexican."
"Whoever." Peterson asked, "Did you find a lab?" Reacher said, "I want to see the product from the restaurant parking lot."
"Why?"
"Because that's the way my mind works, one step at a time."
Peterson shrugged and led the way back to the corridor, around a corner to an evidence room. There was a half-width counter outside it, unoccupied. Peterson stepped past it and took a bunch of keys from his pocket and unlocked the door. "Wait there," he said. He went in and came out 10 seconds later with a clear plastic evidence bag. It was big. Stapled to it was a chain of custody form with 4 separate dates and times and locations and signatures on it. Inside it was the package that Janet Salter had described, the brick of white powder, hard and smooth under the wax paper wrap, the picture stenciled on it, the crown, the headband, the 3 points, the 3 balls representing jewels. Reacher asked, "Did you test it?" "Of course," Peterson said. "It's meth, no question. Just short of a kilo. Very high purity, almost clinical. Good stuff, if you like that kind of thing." $200,000's worth right there. $1 million on the streets of Chicago after they cut it and retail it. Any idea what the picture means? Nah, they always put some kind of logo on. This is a brand-conscious market. You got the money in there, too, that the Chicago guy paid? Of course. Can I see it? Don't you believe me? I just like looking at stuff like that. So Peterson ducked back in and came back out with another evidence bag. Same size, same kind of form stapled to it, full of bricks of bills, all banded together. Okay, Peterson asked. How long would it take you to earn that much? After taxes? I don't want to think about it. Is that really wax paper on the dope? No, it's some kind of cellophane or glassine. It's a little yellowed because it's old stock, but it's proper pharmaceutical quality. This is a very high-end operation. Okay. So did you find their lab? No. Did you see the stone building? Only from the outside. Do you know what it is? No, but I know what it isn't. Reacher headed for the squad room, for the desk in the back corner. He picked up the phone, dialed 9 for a line, and then the number he remembered. Yes? Amanda, please. A click, a purr, the voice. It sounded tired, a little frustrated. It said, "I could be in Afghanistan right now. In fact, if you don't stop calling me, I might just put in for a transfer." Reacher said, "The food might be better. Can't beat a goat's eyeballs and yogurt." "You ever been there?" "No, but I met someone who had."